This evening, I'm pleased and very fortunate to have with me Candace Hill. She's a nutritionist, and she does work actually at a very important part of this program. It happens to, I'll say it once, Askews. She works at Askews. I want to welcome you here, Candace. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, Steve. I'm really excited to be here.
So natural medicines, natural health products such as herbs, dietary supplements, and homeopathic medicines, what are we talking about? Can you give me some examples?
Well, these are products, again, we sell at Askews. These are what we call micronutrients. So that's vitamins, minerals, herbs, homeopathic remedies that help to heal people, prevent illnesses, and, you know, just help people to be healthy.
Okay. There is a wellness center at the new Askews, and that's where you work. Okay, in nutrition.
Yeah.
So what's the controversy? What you told me a little bit about this directorate that is, so please explain to me what's the controversy?
Okay, the controversy is prior to 2004 in Canada, all our natural health products, which we just covered, vitamins and herbs, were considered food. They were in a food category because they work like food at healing the body, cleansing the body. In 2004, Health Canada basically foisted this directive on us, making our natural supplements, which were once food, drugs under the Food and Drug Act. So now each company has had to go through, you know, hoops and get these NHP licenses and trying to treat them like drugs. And Health Canada would say things like, well, we need these regulations because of safety. But the thing is, our industry has always obviously been about safety and having, you know, good ingredients in the products. But the thing is, there's never been any deaths with natural health products. You can call the poison control center. So they've kind of put this fear into consumers that, oh, we need to be protected by these natural health products. When actually, in fact, really what it comes down to is money. Because I'll tell you, this industry has put out millions of dollars to have to comply with these regulations, which actually are illegal and unconstitutional.
Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later. That in itself is going to be an interesting controversy, whether or not these regulations themselves are completely ethically or even legal, completely legal. But in the meantime, why haven't all the vitamins, minerals, supplements, etc., and all these, why haven't they been tested?
Well, they have been tested. You know, a lot of these companies put a fair amount of money into studies and publishing, you know, scientific research on these products. Good example is vitamin C. We were sharing earlier the newest published study that came out of the Rath Institute in California was out of the International Journal of Oncology, correlating the use of micronutrients, that's what we call vitamins, with tumors. And that study just came out a few months ago, and that was in the International Journal of Oncology.
So, but my understanding is, though, that one of the controversies in this whole affair is that some of the smaller companies producing herbs or natural foods find it very onerous to properly license their products.
Well, yeah, this is what's happened. When these regulations came in, a lot of companies, especially American companies and good products, decided to leave Canada because it was going to cost, one herb company I know, it was going to cost them $150,000 to comply with these, you know, getting these NHP numbers. And so because of that, yes, it's cost millions, you know, from the industry to pay for these site licenses. Some companies have decided to shut down. It's been very hard on the smaller companies that are making, you know, more food-based nutrients. So it's been a real challenge.
And here in Canada, in the States, it's called the FDA. In Canada, it's called the
Health Canada.
It's called Health Canada,
they're called the same.
Directorate. What's the directorate?
It's called the National Health Products Directorate.
National Health Products Directorate.
Yeah.
And a part of Health Canada.
Yeah, under Health Canada and the Food and Drug Act. Yeah.
So they're regulating all this stuff for our safety. Is that what they're telling you?
Yeah. And what we've said as an industry, if it's all about safety, why are we not applying these regulations on pharmaceutical drugs?
Mm.
Which we know, I mean, even something as simple as aspirin. I know I almost lost a customer, you know, but we know every day there's many people that are dying all across Canada and the United States from correctly prescribed pharmaceutical drugs.
That's an interesting point. They will argue that they have been legitimately tested, double-blind studies, and therefore they're safe.
Yeah.
Well, just for what it's worth, actually, they were meeting here just this last week, I understand. I would have loved to have seen them. Have you ever heard of the Therapeutics Initiative? They're a branch of UBC, actually, and they do mainly data mining, I believe, but also their own studies to determine whether or not many of these new drugs, especially the new drugs coming on the market, are, one, performing, doing what they're supposed to do, and two, whether or not they're safe. What was the one that was just taken off the market not long, a few years ago, Vioxx?
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, I believe it was either Vioxx or... that it was the Therapeutics Initiative that was involved in that.
Yes, I'm familiar with this group, but I thought they were shut down last year.
Well, actually, they were shut down for a short period of time.
Okay.
There was such a hue and cry, actually internationally, I understand, that the government was more or less pressured into refunding it.
Oh, that's great.
It's a branch of UBC involving...
Yes, I'm familiar with them. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay, is there any evidence that... I mean, there must be some evidence out there that some... health products are unsafe or could be in combination with some pharmaceuticals. Is that possible?
With pharmaceuticals, that's a good point. I was just mentioning just a minute ago how when I was in Ottawa last year, I did some lobbying on behalf of this industry to bring this issue to the attention of an MP. And he made a comment to me, well, you know, your products are dangerous. And I said to him, really? I said, I guess I could agree. I said, if you took them with pharmaceutical drugs. And you see, this is what's happened. There actually has been cases where, say, someone's died, but this person was taking pharmaceutical drugs, and maybe they were taking, I don't know, let's say ginkgo, and they died, and they'll blame it on ginkgo.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
see what
really?
You mean.
So it's really skewed, right?
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that does open a whole Pandora's box of possibilities, doesn't it?
It does. Well, and the other thing, too, I mean, just recently, probably some of the listeners heard on, I believe it was Marketplace, a month or two ago, they did a whole thing saying natural health products, the ones we're talking about, are, you know, they're no good, they're useless. So, of course, I have customers come in saying, well, I don't want to take my vitamins anymore. But what I tell people is that you have to realize the pharmaceutical industry has a lot of money. And they put a lot of money into marketing, advertising, and to do stuff like this. Our industry doesn't have the money to do that. And so because I've been in the industry over 25 years, this happens, you know, probably about two or three times a year that they'll put ads on TV or do programs saying that homeopathic medicine is just a sugar pill, that herbs and vitamins don't work. And unfortunately, most people believe everything they see on TV, and they believe everything that their doctor says, so they will stop taking things. But you have to realize it's about money, and as I say, they often do this. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah. I want to get back to that in a moment, the fear factor.
Oh,
but
yes.
One thing that I must confess I missed out, I should have asked you a little bit about your experience, which you just mentioned. You are a nutritionist. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think... you know, everybody's got a story, and, you know, there's a reason why I'm working in the health industry, because I lost my health when I was 20. And it was thanks to my mother and grandmother who started teaching me about nutrition and eating healthy, because I, at the time, worked in a bake shop. It had lots of sugar and lots of good stuff, but as they say, I got quite sick. So, you know, that's where it started, and I started taking vitamins, and some years later, I had an opportunity to work in a health store. And I did, and it was like a whole new world opened to me. And I started to read and started taking courses. So I'm a nutritionist today, an herbalist and trained in homeopathy, and I'm also a family counselor too. And so it's been a wonderful almost 25 years helping people. As I was saying earlier too, the one thing I can say about this job is I've helped a lot of people, and I can go to sleep at night with a clear conscience, knowing I haven't hurt anybody.
Well, that's...
you know?
I'm not sure that some of those pharmaceutical companies can, or some of the people who work for Monsanto could say that, but
right.
That being... let's get back now... To this, go ahead. No, you want.
Well, I just wanted to mention why, because I am a health activist and I have been since 1999, and I just like to share with the listeners what happened to me. I was the first job I had at a health food store. I was working, and one day a lady said to me, "Candace, come here. I want to show you this box." And in the box there was stevia, podarco, which is an herb, and salmon oil capsules. And she said, now, we're not allowed to sell these. Health Canada deems these illegal. I'm like, what? She said, so if anybody asks, they're under the counter in a box. Fine. A few months later, I wasn't on shift that day, but Health Canada came into our store, two HPB, we'll call them goons, and ransacked the store. The two women that were working had to go stand against the wall, and they found our box of stevia, Podarco, and salmon oil, and the owner of the store got a $2,000 fine. Now, that was almost 24 years ago, and when that happened, I was like, okay, what's going on? And I'm the type of person, I'm very curious. When things happen, I want to question what is going on. And that's sort of where I started to go, there's something going on in this industry. A few years later, then I started to learn about Codex, which we won't even talk about today because that's another huge...
Codex Alimentarius.
Which I actually was involved for many years on the international level with Codex. And I helped produce We Become Silent, which was a Codex documentary. But so that's sort of when I realized there's something more going on here when we were raided. And I then found out there was many health food stores that were raided. Then in, fast forward, I think it was about 2006 or 7, a naturopath in Canada who I became good friends with got raided. You've probably heard of Empower Plus, Tony Steffens, another very good friend of mine. He was raided by Health Canada. So I decided we need to do a documentary. Canadians need to know what Health Canada and the RCMP have been doing. So a U.S. filmmaker, a very good friend of mine, Kevin Miller, we asked him to help us with a documentary, which we did in 2010, called A Question of Sovereignty. So we interviewed Dr. Eldon Dahl, who was raided by Health Canada in his home with his wife. He was held by gunpoint for 11 hours by the RCMP. They confiscated $300,000 worth of vitamins and minerals. And
this question of fear, how do they use fear in this whole campaign?
Well, I'll start with myself working in a health food store. I was told, especially after we were raided that first time, I was told by my manager, and I think most of the people that work in health food stores were told this, and it's still the same today, to be careful what you say. Because you don't know who you're talking to. It could be an undercover health protection branch inspector. So I remember thinking, wow. So we've always been just with that, been in fear. Then when we were raided, and as I say, many health food stores have been raided. So of course that sets a sense of fear.
Yeah.
Then when you have things like when these regulations came, you had people who worked for Health Canada that came out and wanted to say things. They got gag orders put against them. And then you think, what happened to Dr. Dahl? I mean, those sort of things ripple out around the whole industry. And I will say, Steve, today, more than ever, this industry, and I'm talking the companies, the practitioners, are really full of fear. Because of the, as they say, people like the RCMP that they use. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I guess when people are fearful, it's believed that that's part of the psychology to keep us in line. But let's not go there right now. I just want to ask you a little bit about, because these happen to be two specifics, tell me about L-tryptophan and Prozac. Now, there's a little story there, apparently, so please.
Well, I'll tell you what I know about L-tryptophan.
I'm sorry.
I worked in the, as they say, in the United States. I headed up a group called International Advocates for Health Freedom. I was the vice president. And I know with tryptophan, what they did was there was a bad batch. Now, this was at the time when Prozac had come out, okay? And again, a lot of natural products are a threat to pharma. And so there was this bad batch from Japan, and supposedly there was a few deaths, and they said, okay, we have to pull it. Well, they did pull it, but it came back, this is in the United States, only available through a pharmaceutical company, and it was like something like $200 a bottle.
Oh, my God.
Now, things have changed. I mean, in Canada now we can sell it again, but it was one of those products that we couldn't sell for a long time. But, for example, too, our most recent product last year that was banned was natokinase, which is a soya product developed in Japan for cholesterol. That was banned under the NHP directorate last year. And again, that's competition for the statin and high blood pressure medications.
Yeah. Yes, I got it in here somewhere in my notes, but I just wanted, L-tryptophan. Tryptophan. Yeah. So in other words, many of these natural products are a threat to Big Pharma because they do the same thing naturally.
Yes.
Whereas Big Pharma has spent all this money, they will argue, and I suppose they have, with their research developing their products, which, to be fair, they've refined them, and they can tell you exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
They also tell you there's a few side effects.
Yes. Well, and let's use an example, because you're correct. One is St. John's wort, which I've been selling for 25 years, is a natural antidepressant. And if someone comes in to purchase it, I will ask the person, are you on an antidepressant? Because if they are, then pretty much they're doubling up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, you know, if they choose to go with the St. John's wort, fine. And as they say, it works like that. But what I will say is our top St. John's wort product is no longer available in Canada under the NHP directorate. As of about 6 months ago, the company, we used to get it from Europe, they cannot sell it. So that's another new one.
So, yeah, so we're restricting the availability of natural products.
Yes.
Through this regulatory regime.
Yes, and the thing is they've done it so slow. Like, I know they started in about 1997, sort of taking the steps toward 2004. So now we're talking, what, 10 years? So they've done it so slowly. Like I say, the average person that goes into a health food store looks and thinks, oh, well, there's lots of products. Well, I was just down in the States last year, and I was almost in tears, and I was looking at the products that we used to have, really good American supplements, because you have to remember, Steve, a lot of these products were developed in the States. That's where the universities are, where they've done the scientific published studies and things. And so, yeah, people don't realize what we've lost. We've lost some of our, I'll mention one company, New Chapter, used to have a wonderful immune product, was our number one selling product. Health Canada made them change the label, change ingredients. They got their NPN number. Everything was good. And then Health Canada turned around and said, no, we're banning it. You can't sell it in Canada. So even, see, people think right now they're safe because, oh, I've got my NHP number, everything's great. Well, the power that Health Canada wields, they can take stuff off just like that. And that's my fear.
Yeah. You know? Well, we're going to get to what people can maybe do about it, or at least being informed. Yes. Raising awareness is one of the things that I think this station is all about. You know, the...
Yes. Solutions.
Trying to find... ways of getting around. At one point, I was thinking about people producing these things anyway, but we won't go there. But you did say that many of these natural health products have been tested, or they've been tested in the the world of experience over the years. The First Nations, many of the things have been the testing is through the use of.
Well, I can only attest for myself. I am Métis myself, and I've used these herbal medicines. Like, well, one example is a product called Fluorescence. I've been using that over 20 years with clients that I have that have cancer very successfully. And that product actually comes from an Ojibwe medicine man who had given it to a nurse. Her name was Renee Casey. This was back in the 40s. She had developed breast cancer. And I'm not sure how their paths crossed, but he gave her this tea, which she drank, and her cancer was cured. Do you know, Steve, over the next 10 years, Canadian and American medical doctors would send her patients that they could do nothing else for, and she would give them this tea, and she had like about an 80% recovery.
Is there...
But then what happened was the Canadian Medical Association got a hold of her and told her she could not give this tea to anybody anymore or she would go to jail. And that was in the 50s by that time. Now that product is available now, but just to give you an example of the sort of things that happen. Right?
Are there any of these double-blind studies going on then when there's something like this that comes along to demonstrate its effect, a natural product? Double-blind studies. In other words, using placebos, etc.
Yes, I believe there have. I know like one of our largest companies in Canada that's been around a long time, they put, I can't remember how much, but quite a bit of money every year into testing like echinacea. They just did another huge study this last year because there was controversy with echinacea. Can you take it if you've got an autoimmune disease? They've proven, yes, you can, that it is fine. It won't affect the immune system. So yeah. And see, the other side, the pharmaceutical industry, often I've heard them say, oh, none of these natural products have been scientifically studied. And they have. They've done years of studies with people.
Okay, that's interesting too, whether, and especially combinations.
Yes.
I think that's one of the big fears is that the pharmaceutical industry, a business, I think you called it at some point.
The business of disease.
The business of disease has quite a grip.
Yes,
on the on the medical profession,
yes,
and doctors are oft are want to prescribe some sort of medication,
yes,
that is you know the pharmaceutical that we've got all this advertising or publicity, etc., that it convinces us that it's working.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So let's get back to natural products, though. Just before we go to another break at the half hour or so, let me ask you, what this word natural, it's something that's used not only in herbs and natural health products, but it's used in foods, just regular foods, natural.
Yes.
Is there any specific certification or is it a rather general term? Is it like organic?
Well, I'm just going to say something my son said when he was 12 about organics, which should tie into natural. He said to me, Mom, he says, why is it that people think that organic is something new and commercial farming is something old when it's actually the other way around? And I said, you're absolutely correct. We've given the term organic or natural, but these are the way our foods have been grown for thousands of years. Now, when you say about regulations, I am speaking now, say, for the foods, because I've been in the organic industry for a long time, there is very strict standards as far as, you know, when someone's going to grow, let's say, I'm not sure, let's say carrots, you know, they have to grow 3 years, it's considered transitional, and another 2 years they get their certification. But their soil is tested every year and all that kind of stuff. So, but I do know that, there is people claiming things are natural.
Well, natural apparently is just it's a term now that, of course, the commercial producers have latched on to, and it doesn't really mean very much.
Right.
That's what I guess I was getting at.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just want to quote one of the things that I think you said this, when health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself, art cannot manifest, strength cannot fight, wealth becomes useless, and intelligence cannot be applied. Mm-hmm. And it was Harrow. How do you pronounce that?
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
Herophilus. I think. At any rate, well,
and that's true.
Yeah.
Because I always say to people, if we don't have our health, what do we have? And I've worked down in White Rock in Vancouver for many years, and worked with millionaires who have walked in my store and have all the money in the world, but they don't have their health. And they said, you know, it really doesn't mean much. You know, I can't even enjoy these things if I don't have my health. And I want to just mention one last thing. And this actually comes from Dr. Rath. How so many people today think of health and they think doctors and drugs. When in fact, health is nutrition and using what we call micronutrients.
And
so
in
herbs
good
and vitamins.
A state of health. Health and happiness.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, you mentioned the raids by Health Canada. Mm-hmm. But what are we talking about sovereignty here? I think.
Well, the actual word sovereignty means independent, right? To, you know, be able to do, have freedom of choice to do what you want. I mean, that's what this whole subject for me is about Canadians having the freedom to choose what they want to put in their bodies. It's their body. You know, if I want to put a drug or I want to put vitamin C or I want to put, it really is ultimately up to me.
So I guess, therefore, it follows that the government should not be interfering and saying,
exactly,
you know, regulating these things to the point where you can't even get them anymore.
Exactly. And this is, and as I say, the reason that I'd wanted to do this documentary is because most Canadians have no idea that these things have been done to our industry, because you won't see them in mainstream media, in the newspaper. They're just not there. And so with the question of sovereignty, we covered, as I say, Tony Steffens' raid by Health Canada, which actually, by the way, cost them over $2 million, Health Canada, to do this raid on Tony. And then also, as I say, with Dr. Dahl.
So my all purpose about fear.
Was, yeah.
And sovereignty.
Yeah.
If we all have the right to consume tobacco or alcohol or other products, then why should we not have the right to consume health products that we feel are good for us?
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So is there an association right now in Canada of National Health Products Association?
No, but maybe I'd like to go into the group. There was a group I'd like to mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that started over 15 years ago called Freedom for Choice in Healthcare out of Ontario.
Right.
Headed up by a brilliant woman. Her name is Marilyn Nelson. And her group, I mean, their whole motto was foods are not drugs. So they did lots of campaigning, to stop Health Canada from doing different things. And she actually at one point had over 200,000 members in her group. She did a lot of lobbying. She's the only lobbyist that we've really ever had in this country. And this is true. One of her last times in Ottawa, they called her a nutra-terrorist. Anyways, she had Fifth Estate interview in her house. She almost had Alan Rock, the health minister in 2000, I think it was, almost had him kicked out. I mean, she got pretty powerful. But what listeners need to realize is that the powers that be have a lot of money. And if you're in the way of what they want to do, they will bring people in to get rid of you. We call them controlled opposition. So in about a two-year period, Marilyn Nelson's group was actually hijacked. It was actually stolen. And it was very, very sad. And that was at a point, as I say, when she was getting getting a lot of momentum. And this was about 2002. And 2 years later, 2004, as I say, is when our directive was put in place. So I know it was methodically planned to get rid of her so that they could, bring in these regulations. But on a positive note, in 2006, I got a hold of Marilyn because I was working in a health store, and at that point, we were seeing products being taken off the shelf, some of our top-selling products. And so I had, at that point, been working on the international level, and I thought, you know what? I need to work on the national, my own country's level. So I called Marilyn and said, let's start a group and see what we can do, if we can try to put a juggernaut into these regulations. So we tried for a year. Again, we didn't really get anywhere. It was very hard. So we both kind of went our separate ways till 2010, the year that I did A Question of Sovereignty. I called her up again and said, you know, let's try this again. Let's see if we can take legal action and try to get this NHP directorate stopped. So she said, okay. And I'm going to mention Marilyn is in her early 70s. She said, okay, let's do it. So I'd like to say that today, actually not today, but say January of this year, 2014, Marilyn was able to find an incredible lawyer, because it's taken years to find a good lawyer, trustworthy lawyer. They went to court against Health Canada, and I'd like to mention the lawyer's name. His name is Rocco Galati.
Yeah, he's a name that's familiar to people, a lot of people. I'm a member of Comer, and he also was fighting for the use of the Bank of Canada. Anyway, I know
right?
The name.
Yeah,
Rocco Galati.
She actually had approached him in 97, but he was busy at the time and couldn't work with her. So she actually found two other lawyers because she was going to do a legal challenge back then. But what actually happened was she fundraised, like I think it was $150,000. They were about to go to court and the two lawyers quit. Anyways, so she called Rocco back, I guess it was 2010 or 11, showed him our case. He took a look at it and said, you know, I can't not take this on. And so suffice to say, they were in court. We had our first day in court. I mean, it's taken like 15 years to have a day in court. I was told I wasn't there, but I was told that Rocco did a fabulous job. The judge was just in shock. He actually, you know, really respects Rocco, but he had not heard the things that Rocco had brought forth about the NHP directorate and about the actions of Health Canada.
And immediately I understand that the government tried to move to strike, to have it stricken, or to have it the case dropped. What they call a motion to strike.
Oh, okay.
Which was to try and that it was vexatious and I can't remember the words exactly, but and that he that's what you're waiting for, are you not? A decision on whether or not
The judge said, "Give me some time. I need to look over this, and we'll be back." So I'm not sure when the next court date is, but this is exciting for us, and a lot of companies in the industry are behind this lawsuit. We're keeping kind of low key. just because we need to. But I was told that the Health Canada lawyer that got up and spoke, they said that it was pathetic. It was just a joke. Because, see, the thing is, Health Canada knows what they're doing is illegal and unconstitutional, but they put so much fear into the industry. They're telling everybody in the industry that this is a law. This is the Natural Health Product Directive is a law. It is not a law.
Wouldn't it be logical for Health Canada to facilitate the health products, natural health products industry, in getting, if they're the ones that say they have to be, in getting them tested? And wouldn't that be one of the underpinnings of what am I looking
well,
for?
Well, you would think.
One of the objectives of Health Canada.
Well, you would think, Steve, but people need to understand that Health Canada isn't really about health. I call it sick care. Because of my research I've been doing the last few years on Health Canada, it's controlled a lot by the pharmaceutical industry. And, it's really not about health.
There's a few things about Health Canada that really do concern all of us. But before we run out of time, one of the things I want to ask you, what are some of the things that people can do aside from going to their wellness centers and also, I guess, talking to pharmacists? Although the pharmacist wouldn't tell them about health products. No,
because they would just talk to them about drugs.
Yeah. Drugs.
So what I would suggest, if there's any listeners that, are concerned, first I say, on a local level, our voices do make a difference. Going to see your MLA, going to see your MP, and mention about these natural health products, and if you're someone who uses these products, let them know that my freedom of choice is being taken from me. I always say the power's in the people. And that's what I've been saying for years, because really that's what it's going to take. And maybe it might come to a point where a lot of these products are gone and then people will stand up. I'm not sure, but there is things we can do. The other thing is support the lawsuit. They can go to the Natural Health Freedom Canada's website. They have contact info there if they want to help in that way. Again, a lot of Canadians don't even know about health food stores. And I tell people, there's over 4,000 health food stores in Canada.
And I know that, here in Salmon Arm, there are two major ones, I believe.
Yeah, there's quite a few in Salmon Arm. And the thing is, health food stores, I personally feel, are who are keeping Canadians healthy and alive. And a lot of the people that work in those stores are women, and they're educated, and healers. And again, I also want to say, too, to the listeners, I don't want to make it sound that I don't have respect for medicine or doctors.
Allopathic.
I actually have very many colleagues and friends, Dr. Jonathan Wright in the States, Dr. Whitaker, Dr. Rath, Dr. Levine in Canada, Dr. Rona. These are all medical doctors, but they use orthomolecular medicine, which is the use of vitamin therapy and nutrition.
I want to get into that because you mentioned in some of the material that I in my research,
orthomolecular medicine actually was, the term was coined I'm not going to say if it was coined by Dr. Hoffer, but Dr. Hoffer was a Canadian psychiatrist who, by chance, this was in 1953, was given the opportunity to use niacin, B3, on psychiatric patients in a hospital. So he and another doctor administered quite high amounts. So I think it was up to something like 3 grams a day of niacin to these people in this psychiatric hospital. Well, guess what? After 2 years, something like 70 to 80% of them walked out.
Wow.
Now, other people started to hear about this. And so after that, orthomolecular medicine has become very big in the United States. There's many medical doctors that use orthomolecular medicine. Unfortunately, in Canada, it's another story. A lot of doctors have had their licenses taken away. That's another point I'd like to let listeners know, is that medical doctors, when they do recommend these things, can and do lose their medical licenses. Most people don't know that. Orthomolecular medicine is an amazing medicine. Maybe some of the listeners have heard of Linus Pauling. He was a chemist and researcher. He won 2 Nobel Prizes, and he was very instrumental in studying vitamin C. And he was the one that discovered that we're the only animals that don't make vitamin C. This came out over a decade ago in published, you know, journals to all doctors across the world about vitamin C.
You talked about the business of
disease.
Disease.
Yeah.
And that's something that's probably another program. But I want to one more station identification. CKVS, you're listening to 93.7 FM, and also on the web. We stream live on the web, voiceoftheshoeswap.ca. Just click on listen live. The show is called The Core of the Matter. I am Steve Corey, the host of this show. I have Candace Hill with me this evening. She's a nutritionist. We're into a very interesting subject that I could probably take five shows to cover, and we would just barely be scraping the surface. But it's a very critical subject, and one that I hope we will continue. I know that I want to plug another show that gets into this very same realm, and that is What's So What with Jerry Paquette. His show is on Mondays at 4 o'clock, and it gets repeated. I'm gonna tell you right now, if you'll just bear with me, I have to check my sheet here for the repetitions, when exactly it's repeated. What's So What is on at 4 o'clock, as I said, on Mondays. Mondays at 4, and then it's repeated the following Sunday at 4 p.m. and Thursday at 8 a.m. Thursday at 8 a.m. And Jerry co-authored a book with Gloria Askew, who is a nutritionist, called Eat to Save Your Life. And that's another program that I strongly recommend people listen to. So I forgot to mention, very important, the sponsor of this program is Askew's. Askew's Foods, quality and service since 1929. They're known for local food for local folks. Two stores here in Salmon Arm, a very important sponsor of this program and this station. Askew's, quality and service since 1929. Back to my guest, Candace.
Okay, a few things I wanted to mention to the listeners. A year and a half ago, I stepped away from the second group I'd started, which is Natural Health Freedom Canada, and that's the group that's in court right now. And I kind of had to take a sabbatical, because I will say, Steve, doing this work, it is very taxing and is very challenging. Yep. I mean, I've been attempted to be sued, Marilyn and I both, a year and a half ago, from actually a lawyer that I worked with for 9 years. So, yeah, I'm actually working on a book to get these stories out to the people, because it really is unbelievable. But on a positive note, I decided to start a group on my own, and it's actually really just me, but it's an online, I've become quite an expert at social media. I've built like about 5 websites. I've got really good at Facebook and all that. So I have this Facebook page. It's called, the new group I have is called Canadians for True Health and Social Justice. So they can type in, if any of our listeners are on Facebook, to Canadians for True Health and Social Justice. And I post on there almost every day things that are going on in Canada, things that are going on internationally. I put, you know, information about herbs and all sorts of things on there. So it's quite good. Also, I want to mention that a year ago, I worked closely with the Rath Foundation, and they started a new campaign a year ago called Movement of Life. And I'm heading up Movement of Life Canada. We've got about, I don't know how many countries, maybe 10 countries. And basically, it also is a Facebook page. And we're using that, again, to educate people about the history of the pharmaceutical cartel. But I post stuff on there, and it goes international. So if anybody's interested, it's Movement of Life Canada is another Facebook page. You can join it. And as I say, I'm always posting information on there almost every day. And if anybody wants to reach me, if they have questions, is it all right to give out my email? Or
you can, it's your discretion.
Okay. Okay. So it's Walking in Balance, which one word, with the number 22. So walkingandbalance22@gmail.com. So if anybody has any questions or anything, feel free to.
Or they can see you at
Askew's.
At Askew's Wellness Center.
Yeah, I'm there Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday.
Yeah. I know that some people love to hear specifics on vitamins or minerals,
yes. But
that's really not appropriate on a program like this. But I do have a couple of examples here. Like you already mentioned, natokinase. Yes. Is that how you pronounce it?
Nattokinase, yes.
Nattokinase.
Yes.
Let's just go over that again. It's made from fermented soybeans, and it was pulled from the market not because of even any adverse events, but because it actually did what it was supposed to. It prevents the formation of blood clots without thinning the blood, apparently. This is what, and then of course it was pulled off, and the question, of course, who benefits from pulling it off the market?
Yeah, and I'll say they pulled it off because they can, because we're allowing Health Canada, and I say to people, all they are is bullies, but honestly, we're allowing them to do this to us.
Because in the absence of nattokinase, people have to take these statins.
Yes, which I'm not sure if you know, in the last week, I've been hearing information coming out. Doctors are being told to take their patients off statins because of the side effects. That's
Lipitor.
Lipitor, as well. Yes. And I know one thing it does. Lipitor pulls coenzyme Q10 out of the body, which is a very important vitamin for the heart. So, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about the heart. I think that is one of the side effects. I was just reading about it. At any rate, that's an interesting, again, an interesting story, the whole question of Lipitor.
Yes.
What about vitamin D? Like, it's limited in Canada to 1,000 international units dosage. Why?
Because they can. What can I say? In the United States, you can get 5,000 IU. You know, I'll give you another quick example. A product maybe the listeners know about is serrapeptase. It's been around probably over 40 years. I heard about it before it even came to Canada. Now, with the NHP directorate, they tried to limit the dosage from the highest amount we can sell is 120,000 international units. Well, they tried to cut it in half. There was backlash. But then we found out that there is an American pharmaceutical company that's making a serrapeptase now. That's like, I think, 200,000 IU. So again, you see, it's
really quite surreptitious and rather strange and hidden.
Yeah. But you know, I will say one thing. I will say, Steve, is I'm just really happy that you're interviewing me because it's really, like I say, the venues to get this information out. I'm just really happy that I have this opportunity to talk about
this. Well, that's what this radio station is all about.
Yes.
And this program in particular, we tried to get to the core of the matter. I know that in one program we can't. I've had other interviews on different subjects, in fact, on nutrition too.
Yes.
But I want to get back to one of the things that, as Canadians, I know that Peter Newman wrote a book called From Deference to Defiance. And one of the things that he said was that Canadians, We trust our politicians and our elites. It's sort of traditional cultural. It's cultural.
Mm-hmm.
It's the British. It comes from our British heritage in large measure.
Yes.
And that's this deference. We defer to our elites. But we're now moving towards the more American, more defiance. And I guess our governments, in their attempts, for whatever reasons, it looks a little bit suspicious that they're, you know, making us jump through all these hoops to get our access to these health products, one wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
If I could just add, because I've worked with Americans in this industry, you know, there's something about American people generally, they will stand up, they will fight, they will stop bills. And I'll give you an example. In 1997, the FDA tried to foist a similar directive like ours. The same thing. They wanted to turn their supplements into drugs. What happened was someone had donated some money, and they hired actors and actresses. One of them was Mel Gibson, to do TV ads. Now, this clip from that ad we actually have on A Question of Sovereignty, and it's an ad where Mel Gibson's holding a bottle of vitamin C, and the FDA comes in, they're going to raid him, and he says, you know, vitamin C that's like in oranges?
Yeah,
anyways,
the FDA comes in with guns drawn.
Yeah, because that's what they do, also Health Canada. Now, the impact that had, do you know in one day, okay, Congress had over 1 million people fax and phone Congress, never on any issue had they had that many people stand up against this issue of the turning the supplements into drugs. So they stopped it. Now, that was in 97. Here we are in Canada, 2014. We have it here. So what does that show you, too? Canadians, I hate to say it, but even in our industry, we're nice people, but we're too nice.
We're just
we're
a little too nice.
Complacent.
We're just a little too nice.
Yeah.
Just before we're running, I can see we only got basically 2.5 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly the time went, Candace. It's very interesting. Is there any important? Well, I know there's a couple of important points. Those two websites, Canadians for True Health and Social Justice.
Yeah, those are Facebook pages.
Facebook pages.
I find they're more effective than websites.
Okay,
Facebook
and
page.
Movement of Life Canada is another Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For people to go to, and they can also go to the health food stores and talk to the people there about some of these health foods and minerals and vitamins and what in particular you might, and they even have advisors there, I know.
Yes, a lot of the people that work in health food stores have taken schooling, like myself, on nutrition, herbs, so they're usually a wealth of knowledge. And you know what I say to people? A medical doctor's toolbox is pretty small.
Yeah.
Our toolbox is very big. Not only that, we have relationships with the practitioners in town, like the chiropractors, the osteopaths, the acupuncturists. So we will send people to where they need to go, you know? So come to the health store and develop a relationship. It becomes like a family. We're like a family.
Listen, I want to thank you, Candace. Candace Hill is a nutritionist working in the Wellness Center at Askew's, the new store, uptown store. And you're listening to The Core of the Matter.